At this very moment, American Marines are battling stiff resistance on the island of Iwo. This may be one of the toughest fights in the entire Pacific War. For details of battle in progress, we take you now to Guam for a report by War Correspondent Arthur Prim, speaking for the Combined American Networks by a special military facility. Go ahead, Guam.
This is Arthur Prim, speaking from Pacific Fleet Headquarters in Guam. I have just returned from a breathtaking observation over the bitter battlefield at Iwo Jima in the Balfour Islands. And I can assure you that the fighting there is fierce and bloody. Coming close to the ground on different part of the island where the fighting is centered, we all sense that below us is mounting the most significant and grim battle of the Pacific War today. Iwo Jima is 8 square miles above desolate hell, with hundreds of carrier-based planes in the air and more than 800 ships of all weeks and fighters standing offshore. We came in over Iwo at high noon. The weather was rough and the sea was rough, but through the driving rain we could fare worse than any had ever seen together before in our lives. Altogether, it was a mighty armada, but what caught our attention at once was the scores and scores of planes which filled the sky. Our carrier-based attacking force was made up of six colonizers, Roman Hellcats, and Roman Avengers. On several occasions, we saw as many as 100 in the air at the same time. The two main objectives for our planes and surface vessels were the northern cliff of Mount Suropati and the stone quarry which stands in the path of our northward advance. Dive bombers, torpedo bombs, and fighters come in group fours, tens, twenties, and thirties, and drop their bombs against the side of the cliff where the Japs are tunneled in. Many of them were throwing rockets, since we could hear them over the intercom system being ordered to launch their rockets against the face of the cliff. At one time, 22 fell off from 7,000 feet for him to launch their rockets against Suropati and strafe the defenders there. After their run was completed, the observer was heard to say, "Good work, right on the back." While the planes were carrying out the bombing runs, battleships, cruisers, and destroyers sank off this. Also put their high velocity shells into the side of the perpendicular cliff. Great plumes of smoke, dust, and flames leaped from the northern side of the volcano as if it were again erupting. Suropati Yama seemed to leap and then settle back again. We obviously regard this as our number one target at the moment, and it's easy to see why. As long as the Japs are dug in its cliffs, they control the entire southern part of the island, which is now the scene of Sally's fight. We haven't lost many landing vessels on beachhead, testifying to these officials to say that the landing was made against slight resistance. One of our ships had seen an advantage as far as we could see from the air, and there were probably not more than 2,000 landing boats smashed on the shore. Then the other Korean Marine forces have secured about two-thirds of the airfield in the site, and I could see our tanks lumbering along its 5,000-foot runway. On the western side of the airport, there was still landing, and we circled around the large volcanic depression wherein the Japs are entrenched. Our tanks had this area almost entirely surrounded, and we could see them shooting it out. Farther north, in the middle of the island, the Japs seemed again along the runway airfield numbers and have barricaded themselves behind the fence on the field itself. They are very hard to spot, even from our low altitude, since they're almost entirely underground. They would have to be, so somebody could find the thunder plastering the sky undertaking if they had been on the surface. A group of planes had been circling the area at low altitude for 4 minutes, and I heard one of the pilots say, "Let's bomb the planes down here, we're shacked as well." At no time could I see our carrier fleet, but they must have been all around the area, since the planes seemed to be coming in from all different directions. By this time, I too thought it might be a good idea if we got out of there, and suggested the same to our pilot, Lieutenant John Brooks of Iowa. We made one more photograph run along the entire length of Iwo Jima. We got 7 miles away. I could see a great cloud of smoke and dust hanging over the entire island to a distance of almost 1,000 feet. The Battle of Iwo Jima will be recorded as one of the most savage ever fought by the United States Marines. We were only 20 miles south of Iwo Jima, and Roman Avenger camp alongside our liberator. The pilot spread out his son's head, grinned, and just his right thumb up at him. It's a pat and confident signal of the airman that everything's going to be okay. This is Arthur Prim speaking for the Combined American Network after a D-plus-1 flight over Iwo Jima in the volcanoes.